Good evening, family. How are you guys doing today? Before I get started, I just have one question. Is Brother Hugh here today? He's not here today. Okay. Like Brother Reuben stated so eloquently, my wife and I and our kids have been attending Plantation Baptist Church for upwards of 5 years now. And this church has been such a blessing to me and my family, as to so many of you. As I sit here humbled that I was even asked to give the word today. I'm humbled. I'm humbled. Really, I'm humbled. My wife and I have been together since 1988. Met her when she first came here from Panama, and how blessed I am to have met her. My sister-in-law's kept me in line. When my mother-in-law was working those long hours as a nurse, my sister-in-law, Leanna, kept everybody in line. And truly, what a blessing. Today's lesson is going to be in the book of Philippians. So if we turn to the book of Philippians, it's going to be in chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4, it's going to be verses 1 to 9. I suffer from diabetes, so if I sound like Elmer Fudd, it's because I have cottonmouth. So just bear with me, okay? Before we get started, a mother went to wake her son up for church one Sunday morning. And when she knocked on his door, he said, "I'm not going." "Why not?" asked his mother. "I'll give you two good reasons," he said. "Number one, they don't like me. And number two, I don't like them." His mother replied, "I'll give you two good reasons why you will go to church. Number one, you're 47 years old. And number two, you're the pastor." All right, okay, at least I got a laugh. Okay. All right. Philippians chapter 4, 1 to 9. And the Bible says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eutychus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on those things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." Let's go forth in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for the sacrifice and the shedding of your blood on Calvary, Lord. I ask, Heavenly Father, as we go through your word, that we quiet the noises in our heads and in our minds and in our hearts, and we leave them out there. And we listen to your word, Lord. May you increase and I decrease. It is in Christ's name we pray this, and we all say, amen. Amen. Introduction. The book of Philippians is a prison epistle, letter written while in prison. It was written to show his appreciation and love to the Philippians in a thank you letter for their continued help and support, and also to encourage their growth. Chapter 1 speaks of Paul writes about his sufferings and that through his imprisonment, the kingdom was increased. Chapter 2 speaks of Paul explains the benefits of believers in the unity with the mind of Christ.
Chapter 3 speaks of Paul expounds on the joys of a Christian and encourages church to press forward with the gospel. In chapter 4, Paul mentions joy in Christ as he encourages believers to rejoice in the Lord. It is important for the believer to be well-grounded in prayer and thanksgiving, to offer praise and to give God thanks for the many provisions they are blessed with. Chapter 4, 19 states, "My God shall supply all your needs." But my question to you is, are you a worrisome person? And do you have joy in the midst of whatever you are dealing with right now? There's a mental monster in our heads, and its name is worry. We have all had the following worries. And I won't ask you to raise your hand as I go through this. But if you suffer from this, go ahead and you can nudge your neighbor. We've all dealt with personal issues, health issues, financial issues, family issues, social issues, and career issues. Or are you concerned about the above mentioned? Let's simplify it here. Worry controls you, and concern you control. Let me say that one more time. Worry controls you, and concern you can control. Another question is, what's more important to you, joy or happiness? By a show of hands, who in here wants to be happy? Okay. By a show of hands, who rather have joy? See, I wasn't prepared for all y'all doing the both, but okay. Joy is a celebration of on the inside, regardless of the circumstances on the outside. Happiness is a dependence on what happens. Circumstances control your happiness. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1 as we see why this is this prison epistle or the epistle of from Paul is called the Book of Joy. Verse number 4. Always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making request with joy. Philippians 1:25. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Philippians 2:2. Fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Philippians 2:17-18. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. And Philippians 4:1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Now, if I haven't said so before, please excuse me, but the name of our lesson tonight is Rejoice in the Lord. Number one, I'm going to give you, there are three things from the Word of God which Paul spoke of when dealing with worry. And if you see fit, please jot down these notes. Number one, rejoice in the Lord. Verse number 4. That is the meaning of the precept that we should be cheerful more than that, that we should be thankful more than that, that we should rejoice. I think this word rejoice is not only joy, but it is joy over again. Rejoice. You know, re usually signifies the reduplication of a thing. They're taking it over. We are to joy, and then we are to rejoy. Notice it said to rejoice in the Lord, but always, but it says to rejoice how many times? Twice. But always, but twice. It doesn't say to rejoice in circumstances. It says to rejoice in the Lord. I am a brief, a lot of you may not know if we have any visitors here. I'm a law enforcement officer. I've been in law enforcement for 21 years now. And I've seen my share of pain and loss and during my 21 years. And I can definitely tell you that my heart was so hardened when we came here 5 years ago. And there's so many of you saints that I've met in those 5 years that when I do see you, I see a lot of joy. I see some of you have been walking with the Lord for a long time. And it probably was not always like that. But Paul encourages us to rejoice in the Lord. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. No child of God must go outside that ring. There is where you are, where you ought to be, where you must be. You cannot truly rejoice if you get outside that ring. Therefore, see that you do nothing which you cannot do in the Lord. The mind that you seek, no joy which is not joy in the Lord. If you go after the poisonous sweets of this world, woe be to you. Never rejoice in that which is sinful, for all such rejoicing is evil. Flee from it. It can do you no good. That is a joy which cannot share with that joy which you cannot share with God is not a right joy for you. Amen? All right. Let's go over to the book of Acts, Acts 16:25. You know, as many of you know, Paul was a very wicked man. And on his way to Damascus to persecute more Christians, he had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And as I continue to learn about the Apostle Paul, I'm so glad, I'm so thankful that he had that encounter with Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, brother. Acts 16:25. If we're there, let me hear you say amen. 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 Okay, let's get started. Verse number 25 says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. In the midst of being in prison, Paul had that joy. Why did he have that joy? Because Christ was indwelling in him. Why do we have that joy when we're in the midst of struggles? Let's go to verse number 30. And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. You see, when the prison keeper saw that, he thought that Paul and Silas were gone because he was left in charge of them. He was going to kill himself. And then when they knew that what he would have possibly done to himself, they told him, do yourself no harm. It is through that we rejoice. Let me just say this. Grumbling and complaining focuses on the problem which causes worry. Let me say it one more time. Grumbling and complaining focuses on the problem which causes worry. Let's go to number two point. Verse number six states, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Just bear with me, folks. I'm sorry. I interrupted myself. If anybody takes up a tomato to throw at me, somebody please take care of that. Verse number six, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Prayer and supplication, the two aspects of prayer are similar but distinct. Prayer is a broader word that can mean all of your communication with God. Supplication directly asks God to do something. Many of our prayers go unanswered because we do not ask God for anything. Here God invites us simply to let your request be made known. He wants to know. Let's go to the book of John. John 6, verses 10 and 11. Now I understand what Pastor says when he tells us to turn to Scripture and he can hear the pages turn. From up here, it is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful sound. Amen. It is. For those of you that don't have it, I can see the blue light shining up on your face. Okay. John chapter 6, 10 through 11. Jesus feeds the 5,000. Let's take a note here in prayer and supplication. And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. Notice here when it says he had given thanks. Notice it didn't say that when Publix came and backed up with 100 cases of bread and 500 pounds of fish, that's when he gave thanks. Jesus took what he had and he gave thanks. And from there, he gave it to the multitude. Amen? All right, then. Let's go to Daniel chapter 6, verse number 10. Let me ask you another question. Do you hide your pain or do you share your pain? Has God entrusted you that pain to go ahead and keep it within yourself? Or do you use that pain to go ahead and come along somebody else that's dealing with a similar pain? Verse number 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day, and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. When they were plotting against Daniel, Daniel did not run and hide. Daniel did not cave in. He ran to his God and he prayed. He prayed and gave thanks. Do you give thanks in whatever circumstance you're dealing with? You know, it's not easy to stand up here and give the word of God, but it is the word of God and it is true. And I can sit here and I can tell you that God has been so good to me. God has been so good to my family. You would not even fathom what I've been dealing with. You have no idea what I'm dealing with. A lot of it my fault. Some of it not my fault. But I will continue to rejoice in the Lord. Because as I sit here, when you say the name of Jesus, there are people out there that are going to say, okay, let me see your Jesus in your time of need. And that's where the rubber hits the road. And I refuse to cave. I refuse to cave. But this isn't about me. This is about the Word of God. But what I am telling you is that whatever you are dealing with, do you rejoice in the Lord with whatever you are dealing with? You know, I wasn't going to use this example, but I have to use it because, you know what? The Lord put it on my heart. A lot of times we're sitting across from the Lord. And I acknowledge this almost like a poker game. And I know poker's a sin and you not to gamble, but just hear me, please. And with God, we like to put one or two chips in the center of the table. But God has taken everything and set it right in the midst of the table. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We like to nickel and dime God a lot of times. I did. But you know what? That's in the past. We move forward. Amen? All right. Don't want to make it so heavy. Number three, let's go back to Philippians 4, 7 and 8. You know, Brother Willard, I do understand how you felt when you're up here, but you handled yourself so graciously. I heard you talk about grapes, and I feel urged to talk about mangoes. Oh, I love my mangoes. True North class knows that. All right, verse number 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And it goes on to say, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on those things. In the midst of whatever you are dealing with, and the peace of God. The Bible describes three great aspects of peace that relate to God. Number one, the peace from God. Our peace comes to us as a gift from God. Number two, peace with God. This describes a relationship that we enter in with God through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And number three, the peace of God. It is beyond all mind, that it is beyond our power of thinking. There's so many of you that have that peace. You have the peace of God. But to the visitor that's in here that does not have a peace, and that there's an empty void within you, I ask you to humble yourself and surrender your life to Christ. Now, we usually say Bible study is for the saints, but the Lord laid that on my heart. If there's anybody in here that does not know Christ and does not have that peace, there's so many men and women here that will take a Bible and show you that peace that comes from God. Amen? Dwell on those things. Romans 12, 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It spoke of these things to dwell upon. Number one, true. What is true? Truth is found in God. 2 Timothy 2:25. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. That truth is found in Christ. Ephesians 4:20-21. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. And truth is in the Holy Spirit, John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And there's a truth in God's word. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The next thing that we're supposed to dwell on, honest. Or honorable, meaning a term worthy of respect. Believers are to meditate on whatever is worthy of awe and adoration. The sacred as opposed to the profane. Just. The believer is to think in harmony with God's divine standard of holiness. Pure, that which is morally clean and undefiled. Lovely, the Greek term means pleasing or amiable. By implication, believers are to focus on whatever is kind or gracious. Of good report, that which is highly regarded or thought well of. It refers to what is generally considered reputable in the world, such as a kindness, courtesy, and respect for others. These, Paul would say, are the fruit and the food of the mind that is guarded by the peace of God. When we put these good things in our mind, they stay in our mind and then come forth from us. Be positive in this negative world. Bring hope in Jesus to the lost world. But let's now go down to verse number 10. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Notice verse number 7, it says, and the peace of God. But in verse number 9, it says, and the God of peace. If you're in the habit of underlining or not, why don't you underline that? And the peace of God in verse number 7, and then in verse number 9, the God of peace. It is through rejoicing in the Lord, prayer and supplication, and going through whatever he may have you go through. It's in the midst of that. Be careful and anxious for nothing. And when your mind is right and is set on the Lord, there will be a peace of God. And when you have that peace of God, then you will encounter the God of peace. The circumstances in your life. There was a mother, there was a husband and wife in the kitchen, just chit-chatting like husbands and wives do in the kitchen. And the daughter was on the ground just laughing and playing and having a great old time. Well, the father looked down because his daughter was having so much of a good time, noticed that she was playing with a scorpion. So what does a good father do? Moves his child out of the way, stamps on a scorpion. And what do good kids do when you take away fun from them? They start crying. They start wailing. But she didn't understand that what was trying to harm her, the father was trying to remove from her. So I don't know what you're dealing with today as we sit here. It may be nothing. They always say that you're either going into a storm, in the midst of a storm, or you're coming out of a storm. And if you haven't encountered any of the three, get ready and hold on, because we're all going to go through it. Rejoice in the Lord. If I may, brother and sister Walker. Oh, I got your attention now. I remember when we were out there sitting out there in the lights and we had our conversation about your son. But even in the midst of that, I want to tell you about the rejoicing in the Lord that I saw within you guys every single time. And there have been rough times, stuff that I can't even comprehend. But not once when I saw you guys in here did I ever see it on your face. Rejoice in the Lord, I say. And again, I say rejoice. Now, I'm sorry that I had to say that. I said it in a way, some of you guys know what I'm talking about. But it's in the midst of trials and tribulations, are you going to rejoice in the Lord? In the midst of trials and tribulations, are you going to continue to share the gospel with your co-workers and your neighbors? Or are you going to wait when God takes care of it, then you're going to go back to sharing the gospel. Last week I had the pleasure, July 3rd, of dealing with a 14-year-old kid in the city of Miami. If you guys don't know, I'm a police officer. Okay. And while I had that young man in the back of my car, we began to speak, and he was having such a rough time at home. And I asked him, if you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? And he told me I would go to hell. It is there when a person knows that they are drowning, that's when they call for help. So I proceeded to share the gospel with him, because he wasn't going anywhere. So, in destination point A, I asked him if he wanted to pray to receive the Lord. Nah, don't want to hear it. Well, from point A to point B, we had a long talk, and we began to read Proverbs number 3. Not when I was driving, when I was stopped. And right above my light, months ago, I put up Proverbs 3. Let's go to Proverbs 3. Don't worry, we're going to open up the doors when it's time to get out of here. Right now, you can't go anywhere. Thank you, Sister Polly. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord, trust in the Lord. And while there, that young man, we read chapter number 3 in Proverbs. And at the end, I told him, I said, listen, I'm not going to force you to do anything that you don't want to do. But I'm asking you just one more time. Do you want to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior? And that young man said, yes, I do, sir. And he prayed to receive Christ in the back of that police car. I've learned in my 21 years in law enforcement that we're out there as that buffer against good and bad. But I'm learning that if I can bring them from this side through the Word of God onto that other side, that's one less person that may have to rob us, steal from us, and hurt us. The answer to everything going on in our country is the Word of God. Plain and simple. You know that. I would venture to say even the world knows it. But I say, rejoice in the Lord, I say. Again, I say rejoice. And in closing, and I'll only say it one time, I can't make you rejoice in the Lord. And I ask that you don't quench the spirit as stated in 1 Thessalonians 5:19. But go back to Philippians 4, number 13. I want you to remember this. That the saints that are sitting in front of you and back of you, to the side of you, have one time or another acknowledge this verse. And in closing, I'm sorry. Let's read as a body of right here, right now, Philippians 4:13. On a count of three. One, two, three. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. If you're having a rough time, I want you to lean on that. I can do all things through Christ. Amen? All right, let's go ahead and pray.